So let's have a look in the Bible at Numbers. Numbers chapter 13 and 14, okay? So I'll give you a bit of time to find that. Numbers chapter 13 and 14. This is about the people of Israel and with Moses. The Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders." So they were going to spy out the land. That's where the binoculars come in. They didn't have binoculars in those days. And so they chose 12 people, one from each tribe, to go. And you can look at the list of names, verses 4 to 15. We're going to miss that bit. Verse 17, when Moses sent them up to explore Canaan, he said, "Go up through the Negev, the desert, and on into the hill country. See what the land is like, whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land." It was the season for the first ripe grapes. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob, and it tells you where they went. They came up through the Negev, came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, lived. These were very big people. They were descendants of Anak, a giant. You know Goliath, the story of Goliath? You know, there were actually some very big people living there. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, a very big cluster of grapes, along with pomegranates and figs. At the end, verse 25, of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses, and they gave their report. Verse 27, "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does indeed flow with milk and honey. Here's its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful. The cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there, the giants." But then verse 30, Caleb, one of the 12 people, stood up, silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who'd gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are." And verse 32, they spread among the Israelites a bad report. They spread fear among the rest of the people about the land they'd explored. "The land we explored devours those. The people we saw are a great size," etc. Let's have a look at chapter 14. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept. Okay, all the Israelite people. They grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we'd died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us up to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken for plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in the front of the whole assembly. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, who were among those that explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. And then God turned up. The glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of the meeting to all the Israelites. and settled the matter. You can read on the rest of that story. But, you know, where had they come from? Egypt. Where were they going? The promised land. How were they getting there? Well, on foot, they'd been through the Red Sea. How did they get across? God did it. It was a miracle. They were in the desert. Yeah, tough. But God provided food. What was the food? Manna and quail. All right? Meat too. Did they have anything to drink? Yeah. Where did it come from? A rock. Again, a miracle. You know, so these people of Israel had experienced these blessings of God. And yet, when it came to a challenge, and it was a big challenge for them, they stumbled and they weren't prepared to go on. So, what was it about Joshua and Caleb that made them different and have that confidence and that desire to go for it, to enter and take over the promised land? So, you think about that. Sorry, I get a bit dry sometimes when I'm talking. What was it about them that was different? Okay, they had faith. They had courage. Why didn't the others have it? Let's think about our own journey in the Christian life. We want to be overcomers, don't we? You know, we are faced with challenges at times. You know, we're not just talking about going through to where are we going? Ultimately to heaven, ultimately to be with God in the new Jerusalem, new earth, new heaven. But there are victories that we need to win on the earth while we're here. So where have we come from? Not Egypt, yeah. Trowbridge. You know, most of us are born again here, yeah? Most of us, that's our starting point, isn't it? So we came out of the kingdom of darkness, yeah? We came out of a life of sin, as Steve was saying, and praise God, most of us have been born again. Is it a difficult thing to be born again? No, it isn't. You know, God has made it the easiest thing for someone to be born again. You know, someone who's not educated can be born again. In fact, more likely to grasp hold of it than someone who's very, very intellectual. Before I was a Christian, I used to think it would probably be a very complicated thing to taking me many years, you know, to be sure I was right and with God and going to heaven. I'd probably need to go to church every week and pray a lot and really try hard to be good, but that's not what it is it? You know, how do we receive Jesus as Lord? How do we get born again? Let's have a look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18. Okay, so flick along your iPad or Bible. Matthew chapter 18. The disciples were arguing amongst themselves about who was the greatest. And Jesus called a little child to stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins, Steve was talking about repentance, and become like this little child, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, we need a child, you know, have faced with a very busy road, doesn't have the confidence to cross, but put their hand in the hand of their dad, their mum. No worries. They can cross that road, trusting that their father, their heavenly father, you know, is going to look after them. And we have to start our Christian life like that. You know, we take that step of receiving Jesus by a simple faith in what Jesus has done for us. He died on the cross. He's paid the price for our sins. Yeah, we have to repent from our sins. We have to turn from them, turn away. But we trust in him and we're born again. Okay, that childlike faith, it's absolutely essential. It's where we've come from. So where are we going to? Well, we already talked about that. We're going to eternal life in a new heaven and a new earth. But there are victories on the way now that we're going to be passing through that we'll need to win. Challenges that come. More about that later. But how are we going to get there? I want to focus on this. Are we going to be Calebs? Or are we going to be like the rest of the Israelites? Let's have a look at Colossians chapter 2. Okay, so Colossians, small letter in the New Testament, written by Paul. Verse 6 of chapter 2. What does it say? So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him. In other words, keep going in the same way. Continue to live your lives in him. Just as you received Jesus as Lord, walk in that way. Rooted, built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So there's something about that attitude that we have when we're really born again. And as we get grounded well with a good foundation in Jesus that we need to keep day by day as we walk with Jesus through life. Sandra talked about it, didn't she? I hope you heard what Sandra prayed. But, you know, we need to keep that simple faith that we had when we were first born again. That joy that we had when we were first born again. You know, it's absolutely essential and the key to walking with God. We might have been a Christian for a long time. We might consider ourselves mature believers. But we still always need to have that childlike faith and also clear repentance. In other words, clearly turning away from our old life. Let's carry on with Colossians to get a closer look at that. So, question, what exactly happened when we received Jesus as Lord? Look at verse 13, chapter 2. When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your faith, of your flesh, sorry, God made you alive with Christ. We didn't do it. You know, we were dead. He died for us, but he made us alive. He forgave all our sins. All we did was receive that new life with childlike faith. He forgave all our sins, verse 14, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness which stood against us and condemned us. Yeah, he cancelled our guilt, all the accusations of the enemy. He's taken it away and nailed it to the cross. He's disarmed the powers, the devil and the authorities. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Notice, he disarmed the powers. In other words, through trusting in Jesus, we have power to stand firm against the enemy, the devil. We've been hearing about the devil. As Caleb said, the enemy's protection has been taken away. Hey, another question. Have you been baptized? Not everybody, but most people. What did we decide when we chose to get baptized? What happened at baptism? Let's go back in Colossians, a couple of verses, verse 11, chapter 2. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision, not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism. Buried. The old life, we wanted it to be dead and buried, in which also you were raised with him. New life, through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. That old life that dragged us down was buried and cut off. and we're able to be free from it. We were raised to new life with Jesus. In other words, we're beginning to taste eternal life even now, as soon as we're born again. Jesus' life with Holy Spirit power. You know, so wherever we come from, it's important to know what we've been saved from and that we've been saved from it. This is maybe what the Israelites lacked, those that shied away from entering the promised land. They'd forgotten coming through the Red Sea. They'd forgotten the miracles of the provision that God had made for them in the desert. Instead, let's build our faith by reminding ourselves of God's blessings. You know, has God done something good for you in your life? Has God done something good for someone you know in the church? Remind yourselves of those things that God has done. Remember the answers to prayer, the changes that he's brought in our life for good. Has God changed your life in some way, your character? We need to remind ourselves, especially if we're beginning to face a challenge like the Israelites were. How do we do better than them? How will we walk and keep that childlike trust alive? Let's look into chapter 3 of Colossians. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hid with Christ in God. Talking about setting our minds on the things above. Romans 12 talks about renewing your mind. Yeah, having a renewed mind. Let God renew your mind, the way that you think. Verse 4 says, when Christ, who's your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Well, this is about where we're going. Our future is planned to be with Jesus when he returns. But what we set our minds on is really important. Ask God to help you focus on him. What do you set your mind on? Your worries? Steve talked about worries, you know. I could witness to that too. Don't set your mind on your worries. What about nasty TV programs you've been watching or stuff on the internet? Don't set your mind on those things. Don't put them in front of your mind. Really, you've got a great spirit-filled life hidden in Jesus. We need to live in it. Oh, I brought some props. This is drama. No. Do you like my new jacket? Yeah. It's not Steve's, it's mine, okay? This represents my new life in Christ. Okay, it's quite smart. I like it. Denim. Levi. Is that? I don't know. H&M, I think. Okay. So, actually, you know, this represents my new life in Christ, my freedom from guilt and sin. You know, everything that God has given to me. Actually, today I don't really feel like wearing it. Things are challenging. Two main reasons. I know God's expecting me to go out and speak to people about him, and I don't feel like it. He's also told me clearly that I need to sell my house and move to work in another city, but I don't feel like it because I'm worried I won't get enough money, and actually this town's a lot safer. So right now, I'm going to wear my old jacket. Yeah, it fits, it's comfortable, smells a bit, but I'm used to it. I feel at home in it. Do you think it suits me? Also, I took some money when I left school from the staff coffee kitty at school. I didn't tell anybody, and I don't want to because it'd be too embarrassing. And I took that so I could go out with some friends I used to have, and, well, what we normally did was go down the pub and get drunk. And I just feel like meeting up with them again, especially since things are getting a bit challenging. What? Do we want to go back to Egypt? No. okay? That's drama, okay? It's not true what I was saying. Not true. No, the hat's my hat. That's nothing to do with it. Maybe later. So even though we're born again, we're children of God, and we can still choose to go back to our old habits, our old ways of thinking and behaving. It's not going to do us any good. Do we want to go back to Egypt? Like reading in 3, verse 6. Take off, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Now, these can be problems for Christians too. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all things such as these. I'm going to direct a question to somebody here. Mike. Do you wake up grumpy in the morning? Now you must rid yourselves of all these things: grumpiness, anger, rage, malice. You know, even Christians get like that sometimes. Have you noticed? Slander, saying nasty things about people. Filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. Have you told a lie? Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge, a mind renewed in the image of its creator. Here there's no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free. Christ is all and in all. So I'm going to put on the new man. Let's read on, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion. There are 10 things I've counted here. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Are these things that you're familiar with? You know, do they come easily to you? Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But what God is saying is, you can do that. You don't have to live the old way. The wrath, the malice, the anger, the lies. You can show kindness. You can be gentle by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to get used to it. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against anyone. Do you find you hold grudges at all? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. The Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. And over all these things, virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. So important, not worries, but learn to let the peace of God, learn to trust in God. Just feel that peace ruling, helping you to make those decisions. Do you feel a peace in your heart about doing something? Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing with God to God with gratitude in your hearts. You know, it's amazing what praising can do, isn't it? I'm gonna put on the garments of praise. I'm gonna put on the garments of praise, for the spirit of heaviness is far from me. I'm gonna put on the garments of praise. You know, it's good to praise God, isn't it? We've praised God this morning. Thank you, Chris. And we need to do that on our own, at home, wherever we are. Learn to praise God through psalms, through hymns, through songs from the Holy Spirit with thanks. It's a powerful weapon, as is the word of God. And verse 12, 17 says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We need to embrace all that God has provided for us. Wear the new clothes reject the temptation to live the old lifestyle. We want to be Calebs. So where are we going? Having a clear view of it is also essential. It's not just the long term, but it's those victories along the way that we need to win. You know, maybe you're praying for somebody. You want to see an answer to that prayer. Maybe you want God to provide something. Maybe you want to develop the confidence to do something in God, the ability to give some money or something like that. Hebrews 12 talks about how we should run the race with endurance, looking to Jesus, focusing on him, because he's the completer and the originator of our faith. He was our great example because he went through the cross, even though he hated the shame of it, but he kept going because of the joy before him was his goal. The joy of seeing us saved, the joy of seeing people with their sins forgiven. And in triumph afterwards, he sat down at the right hand of God. He's our example. He was focused. And Paul talked in the same way, Philippians chapter 3, I press on to the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Steve's talked about Revelation. We've been studying Revelation, and it gives us some insight into what to look forward to in heaven, in chapters 21, 22 particularly. And actually, it's not really heaven that we're going to. Did you know that? We'll be living on a new earth with a new heaven around it, the heaven being the sky. And we'll be there in a wonderful community, yeah? With other believers in Jesus in a beautiful city. And there'll be no more crying, no more pain, no more death. You know, do you want to go back to Egypt? Good. Will we ever be happy if we back off from following God through fear that we won't be able to keep it up or something? Think about those Israelites who stumbled, you know, at the thought of having to go through and fight their way into the promised land. But remember, Jesus will never leave us. The Holy Spirit is in us. He gives us the strength we need. I think in reality, sometimes, you know, we walk a bit like this. A bit sort of, you know. We've got to get used to putting that off and putting this on and doing things God's way and learn his ways. And that will help us, you know, as we go on. Somewhere, just to finish, I like to go is for a walk at Iford Manor. Iford's is about half a mile from here. Do you know the Statue of Britannia on the bridge? And there's another statue there that I like and I look at, and it's a man made in bronze sitting on top of a gate, and actually he's dying. kneeling down. He's been wounded, not got any clothes on, apart from a torque around his neck, a metal kind of necklace type, because he's a Celt, he's the dying Celt. And it reminded me of the story of Julius Caesar when he came to Britain in 55 BC. He came and attacked Britain. He came in boats from France with his soldiers, the legionaries, and the Britons were very fierce. Yeah, they were naked when they fought, and they painted their bodies blue, and they were not afraid. They put clay in their hair to make it stand up, because they didn't have gel in those days. And some of them weren't bald. They were standing on the top of the hill as Julius Caesar came and had to land, and his forces. And like D-Day, they had to jump out of the ships into the shallow water, run up the beach. And they were scared. The Roman soldiers were scared. They didn't want to do it. They thought, we're not going to win. A bit like the Israelites. But there was one man who was brave enough, and he was the standard bearer. You know, the Romans had a standard. Each legion had their pole with sort of various insignia on it, and that was the symbol of their legion, and they must not lose that. And the standard bearer jumped into the sea, and he said, "Come on, guys, you know, we're going to go for it." And on seeing their standard bearer take that first step, you know, they had the courage to jump in and go up and run up the hill, and actually they won. They beat the battle. They beat the Britons. True story. You know, it's a bit like what we need to do at times, but also the idea that we can encourage one another, that we can stimulate one another to faith. And one reason why it's so important to meet together as a church and as Christian people. So it's the easiest thing in the world to become a Christian. It really is, you know. Jesus has made it so easy for us. Praise God. But following him can be more challenging. But there is no halfway house, and we'll never be satisfied if we're sort of trying to avoid some of the bigger challenges that come our way. We need to start off with that simple childlike faith in Jesus, that joy, the joy of the Lord's our strength, and hold on to it, because it's a wonderful land and exceedingly good, the one that we're going to. So there we go.
Thank you, Angus. You got the word, you got some drama, you got a song. When that rain came down, I thought, we have a clap of thunder now. That's just going to be great. Praise God. We've really had a message to us this morning, which is really about focus. It's about looking to Jesus. It's about being thankful, not being sidetracked by the negative and the problems. See, Joshua and Caleb were visionaries. They saw the promise. That's where they were going to go. What does the church need today? Visionaries. That's how we're going to move forward and get to where God wants us to be. And so really be hearers of the word today, because the Lord has spoken to us today, and we need to take that on board. And I'm just going to finish with a few verses here, and then we can continue with fellowship. Just some verses from Thessalonians and Corinthians. It says here, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Then in 2 Corinthians, "Finally, brothers," Paul says goodbye, and he says, "aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." And then finally in verse 14, which is quoted a lot at the end of services, but it's one that we're really worth listening to. It says, "May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen." God bless you. Take that word into next week and apply it and look to him. Amen.